It's the CougarFan.com Rising Shop Podcast, episode 262. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this special episode, Matt and I recap the Poinsettia Bowl victory over Wyoming. We hand out some grades, including putting Jamal's incredible performance in the proper perspective. And with the 2016 season in the rearview mirror, we also make some bold 2017 predictions. This is the CougarFan.com Rising Shop Podcast. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com and listen to Matt and I talk right now. A very special episode of the CougarFan.com Rising Shop Podcast. Matt, for those that watched my halftime show, this will be their third dose of Adam and Matt in a week.
Can you get too much of Adam and Matt in a week? I don't think you can. My wife seems to think you can.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think our wives may disagree with that statement, but I would say overall, no. No, you can't. You can't get enough. Matt, if you had planned a San Diego vacation with your family, and you were out at, say, the San Diego Zoo, or maybe you were at the Gaslight District, and I love San Diego, by the way.
Sure, yeah. I've vacationed to San Diego before. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Beautiful, wonderful, and it rained on you the entire evening, how would you have felt?
Don't I get a refund? Doesn't the city of San Diego pay me back?
So when I turn the game on and it starts to rain, we'll get to the announcers here in a minute, but maybe my favorite exchange of the entire with the announcers was the when the color guy said, "Well, it doesn't seem to be raining that hard," and then the sideline announcer says, "Well, maybe it's not raining in the booth, but it's pouring down here."
And then they cut. And that guy was wearing like a nice suit.
Yeah. Oh, he got absolutely trashed. I mean, I don't know if it was. I didn't look at the forecast, so I don't know if that's what was forecasted or not. But obviously, a pretty rare occurrence in San Diego, and we'll get to that here in a second because obviously that played pretty big into the game. So Matt, we don't really have an opening today, and we're not doing Cougars in the News because we did that on Monday night. So let's just hop into the bowl game.
Yes.
All right. So let's talk the bowl game.
Jamal Williams did.
Let's
he
talk
right in.
Yeah. He did all right. Let's talk about the announcers, Matt. One of the problems with being in one of these C bowl games is you get the C announcers. They weren't terrible, but. We'll play a little game here towards the end of this segment, but the rivalry was just way too played up, which probably isn't their choice. That's probably a producer making that choice. Do you believe Trevor Maddich that this was one of the biggest games of the year when he was a player?
No.
So why did he say that?
Because he works for ESPN and his job is to get eyeballs on the game.
Yes.
Like that's what he does. And don't get me wrong. I watched that motivational speech they had him do. I'm assuming you saw this.
Yes, I did.
The, you know, love thy neighbor, but not today. I watched it. I'll just say I watched it more than once, and I loved it. I think it's great. And I love Maddich. I really do. I think he's good. I think he's fun. I think it's good for BYU to have him there to do those kinds of things as an alumnus. There's a lot of stuff about him I like. But here, I think he's trying to sell the game.
Yes,
and
for sure.
They were doing it all night long.
The oh gosh,
all night long.
Hey, this is the first time they played in since they left the Mountain West. Hey, they haven't beaten BYU in 13 seasons. Well, they didn't play in half of those. So that's,
play it right. And the other thing though, but I think what everybody latched onto is these are two teams that have played a lot, right? You know, over a long, they first started playing a long time ago, I think is probably the right way to say that. And I think that's the piece, you know, that is one of the pieces that can make a rivalry. And that's what everybody's latched onto here. But, you know, I think you made this point during the halftime show. I could not tell you about three different Wyoming games.
No.
And WAC I don't sit around
for sure. And the game where I've talked about it on the podcast, where Wyoming beat us in Laramie, I was covering it as a reporter and almost got impaled by a field goal post. I can't tell you a third Wyoming game, and quite frankly, I wouldn't probably be able to tell you that second game except for the fact that I almost died, right? Like, it wouldn't be in my memory.
So I don't sit around thinking, man, I wish I could play those guys again.
And you didn't, when we did play them, you didn't circle that game on the calendar.
No.
You didn't sit and talk trash with your Wyoming Cowboy friends.
So interestingly enough, one of our favorite teachers at the elementary school that we just moved away from in Texas is a huge Wyoming fan. What are the odds?
Not good, not high. There just aren't that many of them. You know, it's not a particularly large school.
Consequently, I think she's the only person like that I've ever met.
I had no joke, in business school, two of my classmates at Purdue were, one of them was not a Wyoming undergrad. She had gone to a different school, but her dad taught at Wyoming, and the other guy was a Wyoming undergrad. So we had two Wyoming fans in my business school class.
That's crazy.
Yeah. No joke. It's weird. There aren't that many outside of Wyoming. You don't run into them too often. Going back to the announcers, Matt, the play-by-play guy is so – he's just mediocre, and he makes big deals out of things that weren't big, like the heroics of Tanner Mangum on that pass that he shouldn't have ever thrown but got tipped up and Baldry caught.
That was just luck.
That was luck. He and I have a different definition of heroics, apparently. And comparing that to the Hail Marys to beat Nebraska and Boise State.
A little bit of a stretch.
Second half touchdown on the Poinsettia Bowl against Wyoming. That's not the same.
No.
Not the same.
On a poorly made throw.
Oh, yeah, just a terrible decision.
I think he was trying to hit Kurtz in the back of the end zone and slipped or something.
I don't know. It could be weather.
Let's
talk about the weather. We talked about it briefly already, but Matt, a total impact 0 to 10, how big was the weather on this game?
Oh, 6 or 7.
Yeah, I would have said like 7 or 8. I mean, especially if the game had ended at halftime, I might have said 10. But, you know, the rain lessened in the second half, and you could tell the difference, though, obviously, the field, and what at Qualcomm Stadium, why do they have a mud pit, basically, outside of the end zones? Poor Kurtz, like...
Is that for, like, Lollapalooza or something? I don't understand.
I have no idea. They obviously do not deal with heavy rain very often.
I think the problem is the drainage system wasn't ready to drain as quickly as the rain was coming in, so it all had kind of pooled up down there. And Kurtz found it.
Yeah, for sure. Next topic, Matt. Here's one thing we don't talk a lot about refs on this show. It's something emotionally that we'll, I'm sure, yell at during the game. But then when you look back, typically in most games, the refs did a decent job and were impartial, right? That's wide variety of games. These refs were very inconsistent and terrible. Thanks to ESPN, I have no idea if Moroni actually had a late hit or unsportsmanlike because they never showed it. Maybe they didn't have any footage of it, which is possible. But going back to the announcers, they were picking on things that weren't even happening on that play.
Yeah, it was bizarre. There was a lot of bizarre about that.
But overall, Matt, it was a very chippy game. They'd let a lot of trash talk go both ways, by the way. Jamal, motioned at a guy as he was running to basically dare him to tackle. Now, the announcers didn't point this out, but they should have. He'd already stiff-armed that guy to the ground twice before that. So the announcers didn't – the announcers – that's what you're supposed to point out. Anyway, but he pointed at that guy. There was a lot of chippy, but, I mean, there was at least one time where they pushed Jamal after a play. Nothing was called.
But you noticed the play later was when he tore off a big run.
Yeah. I mean,
you don't make Jamal morons. Angry.
Yeah.
You won't like him angry.
And guess what? You can't trash talk with the running back who's averaging 8 yards against you. You just can't.
That's what blew my mind, is you have a defensive lineman, he stops him once, and he's like, yeah, he gets in his face, and I'm thinking, dude, the guy's running all over you.
And he got 2 yards on that play, after he hit him.
And the offensive line are having their way with you. Yeah, they're having their way with you.
Absolutely, yeah. So, but the refs, I thought, did a poor job, and quite frankly, if they make some of the right calls at the end of the game, including a face mask that was missed and at least three holding penalties against the Cowboys on pass plays, the fact that we had no sacks in a rain game, because the defensive line and linebackers rushing the quarterback, in theory, have the advantage in wet conditions, right? They know where they're yep. going, and we couldn't get hardly any pressure on them. Part of that was, man, they let some holds go. There was one that Satake, I think, threw his headset over where Longy was rushing the quarterback, and you could see it. Like, the guy had a hold on the front of his jersey and the back. Like, it was one of those.
Yeah, the holding was bad.
I know I'm going to get called for this, but I'm going to do it anyway because this guy's going to kill my quarterback. And they didn't call it. So if you're the Wyoming offensive line, it's like, sweet, right?
And then they had two or three times where they called defensive linemen for holding, which is there is a rule there. The announcer, I don't think, totally understands how it works. He at the beginning he was doing real well. Well, but then he just kept talking about it and wandered off into some place that I didn't get. But to get that penalty called a couple of times, I mean, how many times this season have you seen a defensive lineman called for holding in all of the football that you've watched?
I think once.
And I think there were two or three of those last night. I don't know that was Wyoming's O-line flagged a single time for holding, which is crazy.
They were once. They did have one holding penalty. It was strange. The reffing was strange. Well, Matt, let's talk about Jamal Williams. Okay. We have talked about him possibly being the best running back in BYU history. He has one claim to fame in that he, of course, is the all-time leading rusher at BYU. He does not have the single best season as far as yardage goes, but man, had he stayed healthy this year, I think that would have fallen quite easily. Matt, is this like, this is kind of like, I feel like this is Van Noy's game against San Diego State. This is like, you know, one of those games at the end where you just knew they were going to do it because it's towards the end of my career. Now, I think Van Noy, though, that was his second to last year, but just one of those games where you just knew that player was going to dominate, right?
Yeah, and I think this is a performance out of Jamal that we remember for a long time. This may be, you know, the performance, I don't know. But it was similar to the Van Noy performance in the sense that he put the game on his back and carried this team to the win. Because of the weather in the first half, I think we'll talk about Tanner in a minute, but I think the weather really dampened, so to speak, the passing game. And you needed to be able to run the football effectively there. And, you know, I think Jamal understands that it wasn't a singular effort on his part to get there. But you know, I think this is the big similarity to me is just the way he carried the team like Van Noy did with the, you know, strip sack touchdown and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and every time he touched the ball, even the plays that looked kind of negative, one of the coolest things about them was he got 2 or 3 yards on occasion when he got hit in the backfield.
Yeah.
Even on the plays, and I'm not blaming the offensive line. Every single one of his bad running plays, they sent more guys than we had blockers, right? On straight up, I don't have a memory of a single play straight up where a Wyoming defender beat our offensive line last night. I don't have a memory. I'm sure there's one or two, and I'm just forgetting. But it's an amazing, when you think about it, an amazing performance by that offensive line and Jamal both.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think there's once, maybe twice, where a guy coming off the edge got through, I think, due to some miscommunication or a missed assignment. But for the most part, the offensive line just dominated at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, and they were doing all the right things to give Jamal the space he needed to run. And he was taking advantage of everything they were giving him.
Yeah, most certainly. It was spectacular. For him, Matt, we're going to do a whole show, okay, on Jamal at some point in the next month or so. But walk me through, in your mind now, we talked about this already this year, is he the best running back in BYU history?
I'm starting to lean yes. I mean, if you, the numbers are there, you know, I think part of what makes it difficult are, you know, the signature wins, big wins, you know, that type of stuff. You know, how do you end a season? But even you look at this season, and you look at the schedule this team was up against, and the new coaching staff, I mean, this is a very good season.
Yeah.
So is he the best? You know, I don't know that I'm ready to say that, but he definitely, I think it's a conversation worth having.
Yeah, I think he is. I think you look at his career, obviously, this is no disrespect to any of the other running backs. You know, Onga, Staley, I'm sure there are others. But anyway, that's, I think he might be, Matt. I think he might be the best of all time.
You know, I really like Unga, and you know, yes. So, but I think Jamal's better.
I mean, if you had to have one of them for a game to win that football game, who do you pick?
I think you take Jamal.
I think you take Jamal over. That's where it gets sticky with Luke Staley because of how good he was that year, right? Like, does part of you just say, "Well, yeah," but if you're putting it that way. Then I might say Luke Staley. I mean, because obviously he averaged 8 yards a carry that season, which, you know, is mind-blowing when you think about it. But if you're looking at career, I mean, Staley didn't have enough of a career, I think, to really kind of be on that list. I mean, it really comes down to Jamal, Unga, and maybe Curtis Brown, right? The only 3,000-yard rushers in school history. Jamal Willis came close. Obviously, Haemuli, Staley, Valkenburg back in the 60s and 70s. You know, if you're picking for one game, I don't know if Ronnie Jenkins should put him on that list. But, you know, it's a short list. I mean, he's definitely top three, right? I mean, that's without question.
Yeah, I'd be, in my mind, it comes down to him or Unga.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
And the more we talk about it, I think I take Jamal.
Okay, so let's jump into the tweet bag, Matt.
Tweet bag.
Todd Andy on Twitter, he asks, best worst things about the season. We'll get to that in a minute. Favorite individual moment and coaching staff grades. Oh, he's asking the season. For some reason, I thought this was the So let's get back to Todd's questions here in a minute because I want to give grades out for just this game. Okay? Jamal, Matt, what grade are you giving him?
A plus.
Tanner, let's talk about Tanner's performance. Give me your grade. I'll give you mine, and then we'll talk about him for a second.
I'm going with a B minus.
B minus. Wow, you're an easy grader. I'm giving him a friggin' D. He was terrible.
You know, he did a good job when he was handing the ball to Jamal.
Yeah. He didn't fumble on any handoffs.
But I'm grading him on a curve here because of the rain.
Right. That's fair.
Yeah, I'm giving him a break because of the rain.
Except the Wyoming quarterback had a better game and he had the same conditions.
Yeah, but you don't know. There might be, you know, taking care of the footballs differently or something. I don't know. I think I'm not ready to give Tanner an absolute pass because of the rain. I mean, that weird floating pass into the end zone that Baldery caught just because he was living right or whatever. You know, that should have been an interception. A couple of just, you know, and the interceptions that should have been an interception.
Well, that's the one that kills me in both of those circumstances, Matt, is he made the wrong decision, right? The throw ended up being poor in the Baldery pass. He floated it for some reason. And then that's one of those where you huck it in, right? Like,
right.
You make it so that your guy catches it or nobody. You don't float it up there.
I think he was trying to hit Kurtz and something went wrong. Either his hand slipped off the ball or his foot slipped because Kurtz was open. He was trying to get up. He was trying to get it up into a space where 6'6 Kurtz would get it over everybody's head and something went wrong.
Yeah. I you may be right on that one. I think that one of the biggest problems was obviously the weather, but that interception he threw, that was just a dumb throw to make, right?
Yeah.
you know, that was just a dumb throw to make that he should have never made. I mean, that is one where you throw it out of bounds or you zip it in to Pearson. You can't float it. You can't float it that far down the field. I mean, you just give the defensive – you give a safety the absolute perfect chance. Okay, so obviously we disagree on Tanner's performance for sure. Offensive line, Matt.
A,
absolutely. They did a fantastic job. Even in pass protection, you know, there was the one sack, but I'm not going to blame that on them. We'll get to Ty Detmer here in a second and his play calling. Wide receivers, Matt?
You know what? I am so pumped up about Treneman's downfield block on that touchdown run. I want to give them all an A.
I'll give them a B+. You know.
But I don't know what else to judge them off of, right? I mean, it was a tough game for a wide receiver.
Yeah, it was a tough game for a wide receiver. Obviously, there wasn't a lot of passing plays for BYU.
Kurtz almost came down with that one. He landed in the mosh pit.
Yeah. Well, had it been a better throw, he would have. Right? I mean,
yeah.
Kurtz had a really good game. He made a couple of really good catches. Obviously, there was the one drop by Moroni earlier in the game. So there was some negatives, but very good. Matt, on the defensive side of the ball, overall, what do you give the defense for the bowl game?
You know, I'm going to give the defense a B.
I'm going to give the defense a B. I thought they played well. Obviously, the second half, Wyoming's offense is good enough that eventually they were going to make some plays, and our defense, the defensive backfield struggled a little bit in coverage. Part of that could have been the weather too, right? I mean, the wide receivers know where they're cutting, and the D-backs are at a little bit of disadvantage in that in those wet conditions.
Yeah, there was one pass interference in the end zone with Davis where he just got lost.
Yeah,
he got lost and confused, and so he just ran into the receiver.
If he looks back and finds the ball, he probably picks it off because it was a weak duck throw. So,
but Nacua coming up with the interception at the end—that's that's a big
huge
play.
Longy had a massive game. 16 tackles. Though, you know, I knew he was having a good game. If you had told me at the end, asked me to guess how many tackles, I would have guessed like 8 or 9. But 16 tackles, he looked great. Warner looked fantastic.
Yep.
One of his best games. You know, he made some big plays. Defensive backfield was kind of a mixed bag. Matt, what happened to Michael Davis? He was our best cover guy, and now he's become like a nickel guy, and Lake played more, and Lake, by the way, did not play. He had the interception, but he got beat by their best wide receiver, Gentry, 4 or 5 times. Just absolutely like jockstrap left behind kind of beat.
Yeah, but I will say this. Maybe my favorite tweet of the night, and I don't remember who said it. I meant to write it down. I don't remember who it was, Mitch Harper or somebody, some BYU Twitter person that everybody sees, said water covers 75% of the earth, lake covers the other 25%. It was right after the interception. That was funny.
That was funny. But unfortunately, funny. It did not describe the rest of the game.
The rest of the game, or maybe the rest, or the whole season, but it was clever.
Yes, I don't know
that it was him, and if I've miscredited that, I apologize. But Longy obviously belongs at that linebacker spot. I think we've talked about that. We've kind of beat that to death.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what happened to Davis. I don't know
what happened to him.
He was awesome.
2 years of him being one of the best cover cornerbacks we've ever had to when he did play this year, he made some pretty big mistakes, and he was replaced by Lake. Lake and Warner were the cornerbacks. Now, he played. It's not like he didn't play, and I know he was injured early in the season, but something happened there. Matt, coaching staff, let's go first with the defensive coaching staff. I'd similarly give them a B+.
Yeah, I'd go with a B, solid B.
There was some strange play calls, including on one of the touchdowns where we rushed 3 and played a really soft zone that were a little puzzling to me. But again, maybe the players were out of position, not a bad call.
Well, I wondered if the idea behind that was we weren't getting an effective pass rush on, so instead of using bodies on the pass rush,
let's drop them all back.
Let's drop everybody back.
Yeah, and we did that, I think, only twice in all of their pass plays. Every other play, we sent 4 or more. So,
yeah.
So it, you know, It's one of those things where if it works because he gets confused and throws an interception, you call it genius, but obviously the guy was wide open in the back of the end zone. Matt, offensive coaching staff.
B to B plus.
Oh my gosh, you're way too nice. D. We scored 24 points against one of the worst defenses in the country. 24 points.
Yeah, and I'm giving him a break because of the rain. You couldn't throw the whole first half. You couldn't throw.
So what? You could throw quick stuff. He hit quick stuff, and then we stopped doing it. His first two completions were on slants, and we didn't. I don't think he threw another slant the whole game. You can do the quick stuff in the rain. It's really hard if he has to sit back there and try to get something on the ball. I get it, but you know, and that play in the fourth quarter, part of me wants to give a D to Ty Detmer for the entire year because that boneheaded, a naked bootleg in the rain where we had every naked bootleg they were sending a guy. It was just that play call at the end on the Mangum sack, and he might have made the right decision on taking the sack because maybe as he's rolling out, he's thinking, I can't get enough on it to make sure it's off to the sideline.
Well, and I think you force him to burn a timeout. What did it cost you, 5 or 10 yards? I think you force the timeout there. You take the sack.
No, I don't worry about the timeout. They had plenty of time. It didn't matter then. They had 2 minutes. They had 2 minutes. Who cares? I throw the ball away. I think the 10 yards is a big deal because they're trying to get in a field goal range, right? But what about the play call, though, Matt? You agree with me that you give the ball to Jamal, yes. And if you do a pass play, you drop back, 3 or 4 step drop, easy read, and go. You don't do a freaking naked bootleg. It's not Taysom. Like, if that's – I'm cool with that play for Taysom because he can make that guy miss and then run for the first down if nothing's there, right? Tanner is a decent – you know, runner, but he's not going to make a guy miss and run for the first down. It was a dumb play call.
I think they knew what to expect, which is what makes me say you run the ball. Yeah. You give it to Jamal. Yeah, you just let him go get it.
And if he gets it, he gets it. And like you said, if he doesn't, then you ran some time off the clock and you gave your punter plenty of room to pump the ball.
Yep.
And I thought Linehan in the rain did a very good job punting the football in adverse conditions. Obviously, unfortunately for the Wyoming punter, his little bouncing football off his helmet is probably going to be one of the college football gifts of the year. I don't know if you also saw...
Yeah, that was...
Did you see the Wyoming one where... the other Wyoming one where the guy thought the guy was coming to chest bump him, but it was somebody else, so he jumps up to get chest bump, and then it's an air chest bump?
Yes.
So Wyoming managed to get two of those out of one game. Matt, am I being too harsh on
Titans? Congratulations, guys. You're going to be on the internet.
That's right, for at least 15 minutes. Am I being too harsh on Ty Detmer this season if I say I think overall he gets like a C-minus?
Yes. For the year?
Really?
Yes.
Our offense wasn't very good. We're below average.
It's a brand new system.
We have Jamal Williams.
And we didn't have him every week. Yeah. You did not have him every week.
He missed one important game. One important game.
The other right, but you're at looking end, at... Who cares? Yeah. Yeah, okay. But I don't want to jump on Ty too early.
I do. I just don't think he was very good this year. I think that the offense lacks imagination. I get it. It's the first year, and I hope for improvement. But this is what I was afraid of from the beginning, is just because somebody was a really good player and smart does not mean they can run the offense of a football team. You know, I'm worried about the offense. You had Jamal Williams and Taysom Hill, and you had a below-average offense. I get there was challenges with the offensive line because you didn't have the personnel you thought, and maybe the wide receivers weren't as good as we thought. You know, so, and he can't control any of those things, right?
Right.
But on the flip side, the offense laid some pretty massive eggs this year in the biggest games that we had, UCLA being probably number one and Boise State probably being number two. Obviously, last night, the offense overall, because of Jamal's averaging 8 yards a carry, looked great. But I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh. Time will tell.
I think he's going to be fine.
All right. So, Matt, we're going to save Todd's question for next week or maybe the week after. No, next
week. We'll do a season recap.
Kind of do a season recap. So we'll save Todd for that. Does anything that happened in this game change how you feel about 2017?
The win does.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you look at the win total, I mean, you look at the final record of this team, that's a good season.
Yeah, yeah.
You go back.
Good first season.
You look at our record over the last 15, 20 years. This is a good season.
This is a good season, absolutely. So, Matt, we're going to do what we do best. It's 2017. Let's look at it, and we're going to predict win or loss all games.
Oh, great. Oh, yes.
Are you ready?
This is the best. We're just going like lightning style here? No.
Lightning style.
We're going to talk about it?
We're not going to talk about it. We're just going to say it, okay? August 26th, August 26th, home against Portland State. Matt, I'm predicting a big upset. Just kidding. Win for BYU.
Yeah, win for BYU.
Against LSU in Houston.
Loss. Go Cougs.
Really? No way. No way. This offense, we score 3 points against LSU. No Jamal. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, but you're still predicting win because you're a homer.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to stick with it because I am a homer. Sure, okay. Why not?
Utah, win.
Yep.
In Provo. Wisconsin in Provo, loss.
Loss.
Off week, and then at Utah State, W.
Yep, that's a win.
Boise State at home, W.
I'm going to take a win.
At Mississippi State, that's a tough one. I think they're going to be better next year.
Yeah, I'm going to take a loss.
I'm going to take a loss there. At East Carolina, win.
Take a win.
San Jose State at home, win.
That's a win.
At Fresno State, their terrible victory.
That's a win.
At UNLV, equally not very good. That's a win.
That's a winner.
UMass, their terrible win.
Win.
At Hawaii, win.
Yeah.
So what are we saying? How many games are there that year? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Oh, that's 14 games because of the... They got the extra game because of playing at Hawaii, and we're predicting. I'm predicting 3 losses.
Oh, it's 13 games.
13 games? Did I count the off week?
I think you counted something else.
No, it's 14 games, dude. Because we get the extra one.
Are you counting? I'm only counting 13 games. I'm counting 13 games. Are you counting the spring game?
9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Never mind. Counting the spring game.
Yeah, you're looking at fbschedules.com.
FBSschedules.com.
So it's 13 games. So I'm saying that there's 1, 2 losses.
You're saying 2 losses.
You're saying three losses?
So we're saying, as of today, our prediction, our bold prediction, we both believe, even before the bowl game, this will be the first double-digit BYU season since... I'm looking it up right now. The last time we won double digits was 2011, and that was against a terrible schedule. It'll be a much better schedule this time. Matt, it's not playoff worthy or anything, but we're predicting good things for next year, right?
Yeah, I think the program's trending up. There's a lot to like about what's going on with football right now.
Yeah, yeah. So, Matt, I'm not going to go through this very in-depth, but they talked about Wyoming being a rival. Who would you consider bigger rivals for BYU football right now than Wyoming? Utah.
Oh my. Okay, Utah. Utah State.
Utah State. Boise State?
Boise State.
Right now. Absolutely.
UMass.
Well, they're our independent brother.
What about
Air Force? Wouldn't you put Air Force above Wyoming?
Yeah, yeah.
Colorado State.
I'd put Colorado State kind of in the same category as Wyoming.
Okay.
We play them a lot, but whatever.
San Diego State.
I put that above Wyoming any day of the week. That's got like games with controversy. I mean, that has rivalry meat to it.
Well, and we were good at the same time. One of the things with the Wyoming matchup historically is they were really good back in the day when we were terrible, and they were terrible almost the entire time BYU has been a top 40 program. So part of it is you have to have some back and forth, or you have to have that's your rival, like BYU, Utah, right? You know, Boston, New York, you know, North Carolina, Duke. You know, it doesn't matter if they're good, right, in individual seasons. By the way, Duke, did you see him trip again, Grayson?
I was going to say, when you're talking about rivals, I was going to say Grayson Allen and referees, or Grayson Allen and
I'm sorry,
his right foot.
Krzyzewski should have sat him for the rest of the game, right? This is the third time he's tripped somebody. I get nobody's been seriously hurt, but all three of those somebody could have been.
I think the bilustrator had it right. I think there's a problem. I think something's wrong with Grayson Allen. Something's wrong.
It's like Luis Suarez, the soccer player that kept biting people.
Something's weird.
There's something's in his brain that is in moments of high stress. He really struggles, and his reaction on the bench was just, I mean, not good either, right? Now, it's like he was getting mad at himself, not the refs, right? That's how I read it. But gosh, if you're Krzyzewski, he has to sit the rest of the game, right? Like, you have to send a message to him, your teammates, and Krzyzewski afterwards basically saying, nobody can tell us what to do and whatever else. I was like, I don't know, Mike. You're sounding a little paranoid. You know, once again, everybody's against Duke, right?
Yeah, but it's weird. Like, it's tripping, right? I mean, it shouldn't become this, but they've let it become this because they're not handling it.
Yeah, really weird. Anyway, but going back to the rival thing, Wyoming is not a rival of BYU from the BYU perspective.
No.
Just isn't. I can't imagine any of the players playing in the game yesterday felt any rivalry type of stuff on either side, for that matter. You know, none of them had ever
played.
I've
not watched Wyoming play this year, but the way they were jawing like it was a rivalry game.
I think that's their MO. I mean, they were doing the same thing against San Diego State in the Mountain West Championship game. That was the only time I've seen them. So I don't know beyond that.
Even their coach, who looks like Dana Carr, dressed up like one of the Avatar coaches from EA Sports NCAA football.
Yeah, pretty awesome, huh?
I don't know how else to describe that guy.
Yeah, that's good.
Sweet haircut.
Sweet haircut. Absolutely. Looks just like yours. Matt, as far as the bowl situation, we talked about this last time. Tim Jacobson followed up with a tweet bag via email. And he says, we definitely need to lock up a long-term bowl situation. Specifics on the sponsor, not as important as location. Basically, what Tim says is, we deserve to have a bowl game where we're playing a P5 opponent. I don't disagree with you, Tim, but on the realistic scale, I think us getting a tie-in bowl where we're always going the same bowl against a P5 opponent is not likely in the short term. I don't disagree with the premise that we deserve that for the quality of program we are, but I don't think you look at all of these bowl tie-ins, unless we're able to squeeze in to one of these bowls that already has a tie-in with a P5 team, I just don't think it's realistic. Right?
Yeah, I agree. I think we can compete and we belong there, but that's just not how any of these bowls are set up.
Yes, and I think more realistic is his suggestion that we get a group of five champion to play. I think that's more realistic. But that being said, all the group of five champions are going to want to play a P5 team, right? Not us.
A P5 school. That's right.
That's right. So again, I think it's that one's realistic.
Yeah, the bowl scheme is not set up for independent teams.
No,
it just isn't. That is, you know, and if that becomes an important factor for how we measure the success of the program, then you got to revisit the whole concept of independence.
Yes,
because it's not, bowls just aren't set up to deal with independent teams.
And Tim also asks about who is on the zero side of the zero Detmer scale. We decided to stop using the bottom end of the zero to Detmer scale, basically because it was too harsh. So
yeah, we found ourselves taking cheap shots at quarterbacks and getting stuff to the program, and we were being it's not fair.
It ended up getting kind of petty, so we stopped doing that. Matt, yeah. Let's finish with basketball real fast. Basketball team pounded Idaho State. Got Cal State Bakersfield tonight. Nothing really to learn from either of these games. We will definitely talk about the WCC season next week on the show. But, Matt, we keep saying this. I don't know if we can say it too much. Eric Mika is absolutely amazing at basketball.
Yeah, he's a lot better than I ever was.
Yes, that is most certainly true. But, Matt, Eric Mika 1.0, his freshman year, was pretty good, right? 11 points, seven boards. He's playing the same amount of minutes as he played as a freshman. He's averaging 21 points, nine boards, two assists, and two blocks a game. Like, none of us, did any of us, I mean, I never saw anybody, but we did not expect him to be this good this year.
No.
He is playing at where I thought his ceiling was. He's already there.
And he's not done, dude.
Yeah, I don't think he's done either. I don't think we've seen his ceiling yet. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm very, very still optimistic about this team this year, is that if he continues playing at this level, which I see no reason he won't, and Emery and Haas put it together, you could, on any given night, you could beat, I don't want to say anybody, but maybe you could, on any given night, could beat anybody. Which
I think means, you're a top 25 team in that space.
And then you have that opportunity of making a tournament run, because all you need is one or two victories to all of a sudden you're in the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight, right? Beating teams maybe you quote-unquote shouldn't beat, but those three guys fire on the same night. I'm optimistic. Now, this team may not make noise like that this year, but I'm pretty optimistic. We'll talk about it more on the next show, but I'm pretty optimistic.
Yep.
All right, so next week on Tuesday, we'll have our show. We'll talk about the WCC regulars now into the conference season schedule. We'll also talk about, we'll kind of take a look back, Matt, at the 2017 season, our favorite moments. We'll look back at how our preseason predictions turned out and all that fun stuff. So definitely tune in on Tuesday night. If you missed our halftime show, we'll be doing that occasionally during basketball, but only against maybe some of the big games. Obviously, we'll do it against Gonzaga and maybe a few other times this year, but check that out on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. You can, of course, email us at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Matt, any parting thoughts before we sign off?
I feel like there was one other thing I wanted to mention that was Jamal related, but now there was just so much there. I don't remember what it was.
Well, we're gonna have a whole show on Jamal.
We'll get to it.
Talk so about good. His legacy at BYU, which is a big one. Obviously, as we talked about, possibly the best running back of all time, and also I think he had some other very positive effects on the program. He had great things to say about Sataki's coaching staff on his way out the door. A very classy way to finish, and brought his offensive lineup when he got his MVP award as well last night. So that's what we expect from Jamal. What we expect. Well, anyway, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. Definitely tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
The door is always open, the neighbors pay a call, and Father John, before he's gone, will bless the house and all. How grand it feels to click your heels and join in the fun of the jigs and reels. I'm handing you no blarney, the likes you've never known. It's Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home. We'll